Please be seated. Between the words that are spoken and the words that are heard, may the Spirit of God be always present. Amen. Sitting in the church of my childhood, St. Peter's, feet dangling above the cold stone floor, I heard this gospel reading for the first time, or at least it's the first time I remember hearing it, and felt a sudden pang of terror. The week before, and I know some of you have heard this story, but it haunts me. The week before, I had mowed my sister down with a shopping trolley at the grocery store, and it was my greatest fear that Jesus would realize that I was in fact a trolley-toting weed and that I would be thrown into a pit of fire. In fact, I glanced at the floor to see if the stones would open up, but it didn't happen. And I know now that using public trolleys as a weapon against one's siblings is wrong, and however, I still worry occasionally from time to time that I may be a weed and that I may be discovered. I think many people hear these stories and wonder, what constitutes being a weed? How bad do you have to be to get burnt up by the reapers? And while I will say, yes, maybe there is a cautionary tale here, I think the main point is a word of encouragement. For the Master says, let them grow up together. Now, in real life, a weed could most definitely not grow into wheat. But within a parable, I hear a gift of grace, a time given to at least grow. And maybe through the transformative power of God, for whom nothing is impossible, we could be changed to become wheat. I was speaking with a young woman once who felt that she was so unworthy of God's love. She told me that she thought she would burst into flames if she were to walk into the door of a church. Such was her conscience. The psalmist writes about the intimate knowledge of God, which can sometimes feel quite threatening when we know we've done something wrong. This intimate knowledge that God has of each of us, of our comings and goings, of our thoughts and our words, of our very cellular biology, the heart of our souls. Search me out, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my restless thoughts. Look well whether there has been any wickedness in me, and lead me in the way that is everlasting. It's quite a confident prayer to pray. Now, God is always reaching out to us, even in the darkest, most desperate places and times of our lives where we may feel unworthy of love for whatever reason. We heard this morning how God reached out to Jacob in the wilderness that night while he was on the run from his brother for stealing his birthright for a pot of soup. He's left his beloved mother behind, and he finds himself totally alone, or so he thinks. God meets us in unexpected places. God can open the heavens and send angels to us, perhaps not on ladders, but in the faces of those around us. People like Jacob, people we might consider to be on the outside, the people we might think are the weeds in the field, are often the first to recognize God. God never leaves. God promised to be with Jacob every step of the way, and he extends that blessing to all the families of the earth through him and through his brother, even down to your family and mine. And then Paul tells us that this family bond goes so deep that we are not only one body in Christ, but we are heirs with Christ. Christ, our brother, who taught us to call God our Father. Now, what does it mean to be an heir? I've been watching a lot of Game of Thrones recently, and honestly, the idea of being an heir looks pretty bloody and terrifying in that show. But what does it mean to be an heir with Christ? The passive, Well, not passive, the way of non-violence, perhaps. But it does sound like a lot of pressure to be an heir. Look at William and Harry. That's not going so well, hey? Jesus, our King, sacrificed everything for God, leading us into a resurrected way of life, which, through our service in the world, brings glory to God. Jesus tells us through this parable this morning that while judgment is coming and necessary, we do not have to carry the weight of judging others or ourselves. We do not have to carry the weight of judging others or ourselves. We can grow into the people that God wants us to be by seeking to understand the things in our lives that lead us away from God or that choke us like weeds. We know that in the end, these things will be purged from the kingdom of heaven by the reapers. And God watches over us as we choose to live by the Spirit and grow into the wheat that produces this good fruit and brings glory to God. God shows us again and again throughout the Bible that God shows up for us. That doing things too wonderful for us to even ask for or imagine is God's way. So may God shape us for God's good purpose and lead us in right ways that we may bear fruits. God's will be done. Amen.